Yeah, yeah. Another episode of the Alski Show, getting ready to get underway right here from All the Right. Queens get the money. I want to dedicate this show to my boy Payne OTC. It's 1 year he's gone, but never forgotten.
I work at this killer, man.
Rest in Payne up there, my brother. I'll see you soon. Big shout out to DJ Elson, DJ Dell, DJ Pumpkin. Shout out to Swayze88, Willie, FU, King Belvy, dropping an album. Check him out. Big shout out to my daughter Chia, Fem1. Big shout out to Els Bells, my brother Dem, Hantos, Lance, A25, Chris156, Vito, Bids. My brother Zeus, BZK Films 77. Check him out on Instagram. Big shout out to Sloan, E-Mad, Ezo, Cut Up Kids, Break, Spicer. Old school niggas right there. Chris, Robots Will Kill, One Love. Big shout out to my brother Smog. I got him painting the other day. Yep, that's right, Smog R.I.S. Big shout out to JRC. Big shout out to Empty Cans, taking all those flicks out there as well. I gotta give a big shout out to Oink Art Limited. Fresh paint, people, you know who they are. Big shout out to James over there, always taking care of business. You gotta check out his new line. The colors are good, they cover well. Great price for us broke motherfuckers. That's without a doubt. So check them out, Oink Art Limited on Instagram, and that's the website, www.oinkartltd. Great prices, $10 flat shipping. The more you order, the better it is, because it's still $10. And they got some special they're throwing in a can for every six. So James, when my order comes in, make sure you take care of me like you always do. One last thing, big shout out to Sin over in Texas, my brother, OTC brother. And his daughter Alexa, I want to wish her luck on her eye surgery on the 27th of this month. Young little girl, little nervous, and her dad just wanted me to give her a shout out. All right, so big shout out to you, and God bless. I'm sure everything will go right. Once again, I want to thank George. I want to thank Stickified for putting up with all my bullshit when I need some stickers done. And big shout out to my man Rob in the Cut, New York. Check him out on Instagram. The designer, that's right. He brings all my shit to life with Ryan over at Stickified. Shout out to everybody out there trying to make money. Big shout out to my wife over at www.outtocrash.com. Pick up a truck book. Don't be cheap, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Now, I want to bring the brother J-Lo in, YNN. We got plenty of shit to talk about here.
Yes, sir.
And that's just the way we do shit on the Alski Show. It's all raw and uncut. And if anybody tells you anything different, it's bullshit. But J-Lo.
Yes, sir.
What's the good word, brother?
Hey, all is well, my brother. You know, I'm glad to be here. It's a pleasure.
Yeah,
I'm familiar
absolutely.
With this lifestyle.
J-Lo and myself actually got high without doing drugs.
Exactly.
Doing Crystal Rose's show. It was a great show. We painted indoors and... Man, let me tell you, man, I was fucking hot in there, man.
I was super high. I was seeing three J-Lo's in one, man. I was out of it.
Well, actually, I saw your outline. You had about three different outlines,
yes,
and it looked pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm fucking with you.
I tried.
Yo, it was hot. I mean, DJ Pumpkin was spinning the music. He was getting everybody in the groove. Everybody that participated, you know, thank you. And shout out to the Vandal Hour and 718 Collective.
Definitely.
Everyone else that was involved. I actually ran into to JD over there. Big shout out to you, SRNBK crew. There was a lot of people there, man. A lot of people that I didn't get to meet that I know of, and you know, we weren't introduced or whatnot.
A lot of old timers were there too. You know,
it was good. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we could do something else. You know, they had a good show the other night. I wasn't able to make it because I'm on a night shift, and that kind of sucks. But shout out to Sev and Dio and Vamp and everybody else out there. And of course, DJ Pumpkin was spinning over there.
Definitely.
I believe it was called Lovecraft
down on the
Lower East Side.
Yeah.
Sorry I didn't get to make it. I'm sure you guys had a great time.
Good time.
And that's pretty much it. Now, let's get down to basics, my brother J-Lo.
Yeah, basics.
We spoke about this once on a panel, how you came up with your tag. I'm sure everybody out there wants to know how the J-Lo came about, and it's definitely not Jennifer Lopez, because he's sitting right here, so...
She wasn't around during them days, but the J-Lo came about in 1988, when the Brooklyn Trend Lowlifes had formed. The Lowlifes had started the L-O concept in the graffiti world, and what had happened was, at the time, I was writing Jack BTP.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't getting recognition for the graffiti. I was getting more recognition for gangbanging and stealing. And so in the pursuit of being Jack BTP came a lot of street wars in the jailhouse, then back and forth in the streets and back and forth in the jailhouse. And it was just too much for me as a little, you know, young dude at the time. So
how old were you when you started writing?
I started writing in 82. I was around like 8-9 years old, but that's just the start.
Right.
In the streets,
absolutely.
I didn't touch the streets until 84.
Okay.
84, I was just a shoe dye man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the ins and outs of who was connected with what. I didn't know how to get the paint. Too young to steal, too young to buy. So I would basically just steal like local stuff around the house. My mother's shoe parlor, shoe dye.
I can imagine that's she wasn't too thrilled about that.
Not too thrilled, but I always watered it back down with water.
There you go.
You know?
Hey, listen, it works, right?
It always worked until I got caught.
Well, yeah, getting caught is one thing. Getting away with it is another. We all know that. But
me getting caught almost cost us our apartment in the Cephalo houses in Brownsville, because housing was strict during the 80s with you writing on a property.
Mm-hmm.
So I had got caught. And, you know, being at the age 9, 10, and 8, being, you know.
They were ready to ship you out.
Oh, man. They didn't care if I was young. No slaps on the wrist. It was just, hey, listen, Miss Josie, that was my mom's name. Your son, you know, we want you in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a beating of my life. Extension cord days. This when BCW was around.
Yeah.
You know.
My mother used the dough roller.
Yeah, whatever that was around.
That shit, you know, let me tell you, my mother didn't care, man. She would swing away. I mean, my brother got a couple of them broken over him. But me, I actually learned because I was the youngest. I got smacked once by my father and never again for being late for dinner.
Mm.
So... I mean, I got caught with the graffiti thing. My father was pretty cool about it. I mean, I got caught smoking in seventh grade.
Oh, man.
You know, I thought my father was going to make me eat cigarettes. He didn't. He told me, listen, if you embarrass me one more time, you're going to get a beating.
Mm.
He goes, if you want to smoke, smoke in the backyard.
There you go.
And you know what? Coming from a strict Italian family, you know, I was like, oh, my God. I thought I would have been dead in a wooden box.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we come from the same era where parents back then were just, you know, with their hands.
Yeah.
Today, kids got lawyer numbers programmed
everything
in their fucking cell phones.
But I'll bust my kids in the head quick. I don't care about ACS.
Yeah, me personally, I
bust them right in the head.
I don't know. My wife is the one that takes care of that. You know, my kids, you know, they get away with murder with me, even though I got to say my daughter Chia, she's going to catch a quick one pretty soon.
You know.
She actually, anybody listening out there, if you found a box full of empty canvases and some Posca markers, they're mine.
Oh, that was you.
They're mine.
I'm trying to figure, where did I see that at? I don't know if that was at the show.
Yep.
I was at the show. I seen it. It was a nice box.
Yeah, man,
I wish I would have took it, bro.
It was. Well, if you would have got it, at least I would have known it went to good use. I mean, I don't know who grabbed it.
Oh, man, I seen that box. And, you know, I'm just not into stealing no more, you know. But I definitely would have took it.
Yeah, I hear you.
But my Van Der Waal brother saw me, so I just left it alone. But I would have definitely took that box, bro.
All right. So, now, let's get back into the timeline frames here.
Yeah.
So, Ma Dukes would have definitely fucked your ass up with the extension cord.
Yeah.
Did she? I'm not even going to ask that question.
No, you can ask me anything.
I was about to say, did she ever tie you up with that motherfucker?
How did Alski's show go?
Yeah, raw and uncut.
Right here,
definitely ain't no scripts, bro. It definitely is.
Now, my mom's going to have to tie me up. She was no joke. My mom's is Filipino, so I got a Filipino ass whooping.
Damn.
A lot of people don't know what that is. That's what the shoe and whatever else come with it be.
Yep. Whatever's in reach.
Yeah,
I know.
That's it.
That's funny because kids today don't realize how good they have it.
They fighting their parents.
I'm just going to end it at that. They just don't fucking know. And that's a fact. They just don't know. So now you're into your shoe polish game. I got to say, I used to see tags, right, with the drips and all of that, but I never really knew what it was, because I used to use the Magnum, the Mini, the Uni, Pilots. I really didn't like Pilots too much, but that's what we had. And, of course, El Marco markers.
Oh, yeah, the little El Marcos. Okay.
So one day, big shout out to Scam Dust and Nam, they linked me up with MQ.
Okay.
And we're going to a truck yard, and MQ whips out the Griffin.
There you go.
And I'm looking at it. I'm like, yo, what the fuck is this guy using?
Number one.
He rips that shit out. Now, back in the day, MQ shit looked so perfect that it looked like he had a stencil. I mean, his lines were so straight and his cue was so round.
I remember.
And the drips were just off the rack.
I remember.
And I was just amazed. So shout out to MQ on that because that's where I got my my introduction and taste to the Drippy Griffin. And then along came the Garvey ink and all that other shit that we used to rack from the supermarkets.
Yeah,
Key Food used to have that shit. But yeah, so you're getting into your thing. You're getting a little older. Mm-hmm. And who were the people that you saw bombing as you got into it? I mean, I know about the Low Lives and all of that.
1984 is when I realized MOG had the BMT flats locked. Cito, MOG, who from my projects in Brooklyn. Bust, Broca, J.O., by MOG, R.E. and Paisa, rest in peace. All my MOG dudes, you know, who paved the way for me. They the ones who inspired me. Dondi had the Pigeon Coop in East New York. I had the Pigeon Coop by Sutter Train Station. So me knowing Dondi was over pigeons, it was never the graffiti.
Now, you mentioned that. We spoke about Dondi plenty of times. I was very inspired by him due to the fact that there was a handball court in Junction Boulevard that he had laced up with Fuzz One. And Flame had the other side with a roller, which was astronomical shit for back then.
Yeah.
I just want to put out there that, you know, Dondi White was definitely a pioneer and way advanced for his time. That's what I feel. It's my opinion. If you don't like it, sorry.
Well, if you look at my work, my origins of my work looks similar to CIA work when you see my simple style.
There you go. So I actually, with my brother FC, we did two tributes over up in the Bronx at Tough City for Dondi.
Okay.
And his brother, and his name's Michael White.
Yeah.
Okay. He must have went through my website or whatever, got my email address, and sent me an email, which I have to this day in my phone, which to me was a payday. Basic, down to earth, thank you very much. Finally, two New York writers have the balls to attempt and to pull off a tribute to my brother. Much respect to you, blase, blase. You know, the letter, it was more detailed.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
To that era. When we did the second tribute to him, I emailed him to let him know as well. Sent him pictures. He was down in Florida. We did actually invite him. It would have been great if he did come. Now, this is a guy that I never met. Okay? And to this very day is still a big inspiration to me. And, you know, I just can't thank his artistic talent and himself enough. And that's just a fact. And, you know, the people out there that are too humble to admit what they like or they're too hard to say certain things.
Yeah.
You know, you should let it out sometimes.
Let it be
because
known.
Look, I'm human just
exactly.
like you are. And you know,
exactly.
we all bleed the same.
Exactly.
We all paint the same.
I agree.
All have the same values. All right. One guy maybe steals more than the other or one smokes more than the other. But at the end of the day, when you go to bed, I go to bed, we all sleep the same, we all shit the same, we all talk the same.
That's right.
So much respect to Dondi, rest in paint, and to his family and his brother Michael. But the whole entire era back in our upcoming was paved by pioneers like this.
Definitely.
And you yourself have a very articulate style, and I watched you paint.
Appreciate
that. I think that was a great time, and we definitely should paint again. You have a very nice flow.
Thanks.
Okay, and you're saying Dondi was an inspiration as well.
He inspired me when I was younger on the BMTs and stuff. Just riding the BMTs before I even got into the graph. His work was real recognizable on the BMTs because the BMTs were bomb. They were just full of throwies. Brooklyn didn't really care about burners, okay? Mm-hmm. You only had maybe a handful, actually, if you can remember, of guys from Brooklyn burning, like TK,
Oh, yeah.
The TNR crew was the only, you know, CWK, mm-hmm. The U5 crew. But everybody else was just bubble letters, throwies, bubble letters. So I wasn't inspired by that. But the CIA stuck out.
Right.
You know, anything from East New York and Brownsville, like Webb and all them, they always caught my eye when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at my styles, and I definitely, for the records, have more than 300 styles, you can see that they vary all throughout Brooklyn. They come from just different parts of Brooklyn. My Wilm Bird style, my Bushwick style, my Coney style, my Bed-Stuy styles. And so I threw all that together, which makes it more like a... it's not even graph. It's more like geometry.
Okay.
You know, you'll see compass and squares, levels and plumb lines in my work. And if you have a third eye, and
now, to the listeners out there that just don't understand graffiti, I mean, this is real talk right here.
Yes.
Me personally, I don't know what style I have. All I know is I don't call it burner. I don't call it throwy.
Right.
I don't call it nothing. I just call it me.
It's your style.
I try doing different things here and there, but, you know, when you're out there bombing, you really don't have time to do what you really want to do, and that's a fact. But
I agree.
I do appreciate that, you know, you come off as someone that's very honest with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I got to say, I'm that sloppy motherfucker that just fucking does whatever comes from my head. You know, it's sad because I can't take a sketch and do it. I never really tried all these fucking years.
I don't have time for sketches.
But for you to say, you know, Brownsville and this and that, mm-hmm. that's pretty good. That's interesting for me to even hear mm-hmm. because, you know, listen, you learn new shit every day. And people need to understand that what we've seen is totally different to today.
I can tell you why I have to do these styles without sketches. A lot of things transpire when I have to do walls with people. Like, sometimes I get invited to a wall, and for some strange reason, they put me behind a dumpster in a corner. So now my sketch is no longer relevant. Now I got to fit in the garbage. And so what I do is beautify the garbage. And the more I beautify the garbage, the more I attract garbage. And there's more garbage than there's beauty. And
there you
so
go.
When you got an audience full of garbage, guess what? You begin to get to the top of the charts of the garbage list.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
And so I'm the king of the garbage.
I would actually like to do more permission walls as well. I'd like to get my painting skills sharper. There's a lot of writers out there that just got it. You know,
Definitely.
You know, cleaning up the lines and the overspray.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically back in the day, blends were basically trying to match color to different shades,
yeah.
You know, and misting and this and that. And today you have all these caps and different pressurized cans, and it's so good. But then again, people that never really use this stuff, it's kind of hard to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've gotten used to it a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't put myself in you know, top 10 fucking category.
Right, right.
But all I do know is for the year I started to this day, you know, I think I could hold my own when it comes to anything. But,
definitely. I seen you paint live and I was like, whoa.
You know.
OG got it.
We Thank you. Thank you. We try. I try.
Anyway. We were dying that day, but I seen you in that corner improvising and adapting. And I'm going to tell you, for a brother your age, you held it.
Man, I try.
You understand? Because I see young dudes who can't even inhale touch and tone for 10 minutes already.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely,
dying.
Absolutely.
So.
You know what the biggest rush is? It's getting your thoughts out. And it's sort of like, it graffiti is art. I mean, people complain and people say it's dirty and it's this. But graffiti is art to a certain extent. You know, it's funny because I made this observation for years. But the other day, you know, I was watching a movie. And the movie had like a bunch of lettering.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to myself, all right, if there was no graffiti around, fine, okay. Let's just think about this. Advertisement. The lettering, the drawing.
Right.
It's a form of graffiti, in my opinion.
Anything with fonts in it.
You know what I'm saying?
Letter
so
fonts is graph.
Okay, it's legal. Why? Because it's, you know, promoting a business, mm-hmm. promoting a line, or whatever the case may be. But how many of these companies turn to graffiti writers to get something going on? You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? So for people out there that heckle and mock graffiti itself, you know, shame on you. Shame on you. Mm. But you also do a lot of airbrushing.
I do. Whatever I can hold, it becomes a tool.
Okay, so now, explain to the people the difference between the spray can and the airbrush.
With the airbrush,
is a bit of a bitch.
Oh, it's no joke.
Yeah, I definitely know that.
It's like stick shift and driving manual. Check this out. The spray can help.
Automatic and manual.
Yeah, automatic. Hey, I'm sorry. when you're dealing with spray paint, you can cheat with the caps. You can actually hold it and control it. But with the airbrush, which is about the size of your thumb, a grown man's thumb, now you really have to see how steady your hand is.
Yeah.
The nozzle doesn't get as fancy as these caps. So now you really put to the test.
Not only that, but how many times, how many bottles do you have to fucking buy to hold all these colors?
Well, you can give me six, and six will turn it to 100 because I've diluted with water. Sometimes I take house paint and add like a little bit of this and that to it. It's all about how many elements can you put in that paint before your gun clogged.
Yeah.
Because the gun can only hold but so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything that's a little thicker than something that's transparent in them bottles, you're going to have a problem because you got to clean the gun every like 5 minutes.
Right. And the gun is actually the needle.
The gun itself is within the gun.
The needle, but if the needle gets that fucking goo shit on it, it's a wrap.
If it even bend, if the needle even
if
bend,
you drop
it's
it.
Over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, and I know. I've tried to do the airbrush thing. It's definitely not for me.
It's hard. A lot of people say it's easy because they have years of experience.
But to the
beginner, it's almost impossible. You have to do what they call curly curls. You know, you have to do loops with it and practice. Because my handwriting suck. I can draw anything in the world. But if you have me write my name, it look like I'm sick.
I got you. Yeah, that's true. Because, certain things of certain people, just like the airbrush into the spray can. And the whole concept of an airbrush is to get that neatness.
Mm-hmm.
But now today, with today's paint and caps, you still get that neatness.
Yeah.
You know, like Montana got that paint coming out for canvases. It's a water-based paint.
Oh, yeah.
Which
they have a few already out.
Right. Now, you know, if we would have used the water-based paint in that building, I think we would have been breathing a whole lot better.
Yeah, the sugar.
But how good is that shit, though?
Oh, man. From my opinion, paint is paint.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start dealing with, like, the sugar paint and all that watered-down paint, you all right. You're not inhaling all that, so you'll be comfortable.
Okay.
And plus, you can wash it off with soap and water. So that's if you're doing something like we did that day, temporary.
Right, that's indoors.
But if you're outside in the street, you need your Rustos and you need your Montanas and all that.
Right.
So.
Now, I'm a big fan of Montana. I'm a big fan of every paint
I'm
out there.
I'm learning to use it now.
But Oink, like I mentioned before, fresh paint.
Right, fresh paint.
They actually changed their paint and
from better to worse.
I gotta say it's a lot better because I'm gonna put it to you this way. I painted, I'm not gonna say what, I used their paint.
Mm-hmm.
It actually covered shitty metal.
Good.
And it covered very well.
Yeah.
So
I tried the paint.
I am a fan. And I do plan on using it. And you know what? All the other paints have their thing, but like I said, once I used that paint and saw the coverage of it, it was good. Now, of course, no can is enough because you just go through them.
I know.
You know, who blows out more, who has more pressure, or whatever the case may be. But that fresh paint was pretty good. I mean, back then, people would say, you know, it's good to do permission spots. Does it hold up? People, you know, were debating on the hold up of this and that. Now with the new formula, time will tell because I've used it. So
I had some tags I caught back in 86, 84 with Safeguard.
And
it's
still
legible.
Right. Yeah.
So it's all about how you actually apply it. You know, if you're going to mist it and overspray it, bye-bye 3 years later. But
for
if you're really up on the bricks with it, like I was with the silvers back then, it'll still show. Paint is paint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some paints are just better than others, and I wouldn't recommend doing anything with Safeguard or Touch and Tone, and not even a new Krylon. But right now, Montana is taking it, and Rust-Oleum is still number one, in my opinion, as far as coating, especially with the 2X.
See, I don't... I don't like Rust-Oleum.
Okay.
I love the old Rust-Oleum.
There you go.
But I was a Krylon guy.
Okay.
Now, Krylon, forget it. That's garbage.
Now.
Today's Rust-Oleum, my boy BZ, he loves Rust-Oleum. He only uses Rust-Oleum.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me, listen, you got to get the right cap in order for it to work the way you want it to.
The Rusto?
On a Rusto. Not the 2X. The regular Rusto.
Oh yeah, the regular Rusto. Yeah.
Okay, because I've went bombing with Rustos where I actually threw the cans out full.
That's
because
the,
it was
the
like
bomb with.
Fuck
I wouldn't
out of here.
Burner with it.
I
wouldn't burn.
You know,
it.
Not for nothing, but Nick. Nick won.
Okay.
I seen him paint with Rustos,
mm-hmm.
and I seen the drips. But when he was done, it was all cleaned up.
Right.
I don't know how the fuck this guy uses those Rustos.
He was cutting back with it. I could, some of us, I'm not going to say all of us, but some of us can paint with anything. You can give me touch and tone, safeguard, five
well,
star.
Well, you know what it is? Me, when I go, I want the shit to come out and be out.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I guess I'm not as patient as you and other people.
Yeah, it's patience.
But I've thrown out a good 15 cans, you know, going out on my thing.
Man, I wish I was there to get
the
Rustos.
And it's like, you know, fuck this shit. Out. Boof, yeah.
70% of my pieces are Rust-Oleum. That's why it pops so bright. But I still need the 94s to clean it up with the outline.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Right now, from experience from our era to now,
mm-hmm.
Rust-Oleums are only really good for fills. You can't do nothing with them.
All right.
You can. Some people try. Some people argue. All right. You know, y'all can debate and argue. But at the end of the day, you see the results of the product I'm putting out there. You see my work. You know, that's what it is. You know, you can give me any kind of paint. I'll beautify whatever I can with it, you know.
Yeah. Well, so. I mean, if I were to save the paint, you know.
Give it to me.
I know a lot of people that actually put a hole in it and just splash it all over the place.
Oh, I've seen that done.
You know, I've seen my boy. I actually gave my boy FC a hammer. He was like, yo, what you doing with that hammer? And I was like, yeah.
And but here's another thing about the
started
Rusto.
Started hacking away on the Rusto and splashing shit all over the place.
I'm glad they do that, and I hope Rust-Oleum see them do that. You know why? Because Rusto never supported us anyway.
No. I don't think they ever will either.
Never.
I don't think they ever will.
So since they don't support us, who cares about them?
It would be nice if they actually brought back the old school colors.
Yeah.
You know, and you never know.
But
I mean,
maybe something was in the ingredients that were killing people off, and maybe that's why it's more watered down now.
But I think the
because it does tell you on
politics,
the bottom may cause cancer.
You know, politics in general. You know, that look back in those days, they knew Rust-Oleums were being used for graffiti. Maybe someone went over to Rusto and said, "Listen, you got to water this shit down because."
Yeah.
The city's getting painted, and we can't take care
of
it.
You see the new caps Krylon have. They want to make sure it's no longer used for graffiti. Now they have the little red devil caps on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so bad, if you're using it just to paint a little chair, once that cap break, that's it.
That's it. The can
you can't
is
put
gone.
Nothing on it.
Yeah. So, you're talking about the one with the little needle in it.
Yeah, that's same kind of red. That was
shit.
Red Devil. Red Devil was the first to use those.
Now, if you remember Duplicolor, the little spray cans to touch up your car, they had that shit too.
Yeah.
And if that shit got dirty full of paint, it was a waste. That's it. It was it was definitely something you had to toss out because there was no more use for it.
Yeah, they could have that. Reminds me of a bomb or something.
Yeah. like a grenade with the pin.
Yeah, as soon as you push down, that's it.
But today's paint is definitely made for us. I believe, you know, it's catered to the artist.
Well, if you
so
read the Montana cans, it definitely supports. It says it right there on the can.
Without a doubt.
But Rusto will tell you in like a little surgeon warning almost.
Yeah, like the cigarettes.
Yeah, don't put it in the fire, and we know that.
Oh, it's funny. I saw on Instagram somebody had four cans taped together with a Blockbuster, and that shit was hot, man. The fucking thing looked like some fucking dragon blowing up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I actually picked up right here from All the Right. I picked up that Martha Cooper collection, the three cans.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a nice collection, $60. You got yourself three nice cans,
nice.
You know, with the cops on it in the train.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should come out with more of those types of cans, because I've seen spray cans going for $1,500-$1,600.
Oh yeah,
it's fucking insane.
Yeah, just for the design on the can itself, right. It's still the same paint.
Red Look, Red Devil. Yeah. I mean, you know, shout out to Mad Wanted. This guy's putting in work, collecting, fucking scrapping, going here, going there. Big shout out to my brother Zeus. A lot of people out there that collect the paint, and I've seen collections with my own eyes that that I was like, holy shit.
It's crazy.
You know, like the Wet Look was nice because the whole entire can was the color of the paint.
Nice.
So if you bought a purple, the cap was purple, the paper was purple.
That.
You know, it was, I guess, like Paint for Dummies 101.
Yeah.
You know, and the cans were really nice. And whoever has them in pristine condition, you could get some good money for them.
Sure.
Now, Red Devil was nice as well. Their cans were nice. Yeah. They had the fucking devil on it with the pitchfork.
Yeah.
You know, Rust-Oleum, you had your Scotty on there, you know, the Scottish guy.
Yeah.
Krylon, to me, I mean, the
just had the circles.
Just had the circles. And that was more than enough for me. I mean.
But you was hyped when you seen them circles. You knew.
Yeah.
You knew.
Yeah. Well, you know what it was, but for me anyway. You know, it had the colors in the circle, right? Like dots, just like when you dot everything with the can, and it was all different colors. So
right.
To me, that was like a graffiti-inspired design, which probably was not.
Right.
But we took it to that level. So, you know.
But now what's so funny is I was favoring the Rustle over the Krylon, but the Krylon when I was younger was the paint I wanted to get my hands on. You know, Adobe and all that. It was
they
good.
Had that ultra flat black.
Oh, yeah.
That was just fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Now, their silver was good. So was Rustle's.
Yeah.
You know, they
I was a Rusto silver head back then.
They had, you know what? I hate silver to this day.
Yeah.
I don't like silver because you have to fucking let it dry to outline it.
Now, of course, I cut back.
I leave the gap where I'm outlining.
A lot of graph heads mix up the chrome, silver, and aluminum. They're not the same.
Oh, of course not.
I like Rusto aluminum.
Okay.
That's better than the silver.
Mm-hmm.
So now everybody here that's going to do their homework now. Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah, there's plenty of shades of gray. Silver gray, whatever you want to call it. Yeah,
and so,
you're right.
Krylon had a watery silver, but the Krylon chrome was ridiculous.
Right.
And they used to come like in funny, skinny like cans with the chrome cap on it. The gold came like that too. I had to get like about.
I never liked gold. I actually did.
It was too bright.
I did a freight in gold and I didn't like it at all.
Too bright.
They don't
too
like
bright.
It at all.
Copper, okay. The gold, too
I haven't
bright.
Tried copper yet.
Copper's nice.
George it's keeps nice. Telling me to try the 600 mil copper.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a penny.
Yeah.
And of course, he didn't have any when I went to grab it. But
Krylon metallic blue was beautiful, too, because it was like silver with just a slight dap of blue in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like bluish silver. Nobody really used those, though.
No. You know why? I think because if you didn't use it right, it did run. Because it had the metal flake in it.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
And that overspray. No matter what cap you put on, you're going to get an overspray.
Well, you know what I used to like? I used to like when you had a fresh can and you got your fat caps. I used to steal them from the Niagara spray starch.
Yeah.
And if sometimes, and it happened to me plenty of times, you'd put the cap in and go to spray. If you didn't put that cap in right for some reason, it was like a waterfall. Like paint shooting everywhere. So
I like the foam caps and kitchen magic back then.
Yeah,
it was, that on a Rusto. Oh my god!
It was just a different time and era.
Mm-hmm.
Different time and era. Now let's of course we always get off track because we start talking on a personal. But
it's okay.
Now, what is it that you specialize in? You know, tell the people, you know, website, whatever the case may be, custom work, or, you know, put yourself out there. Let people reach out to you.
I left the websites alone. I'm like a renegade. I like to stay off the radar, even though I do a lot of legal stuff. But what a lot of dudes don't know is you get in trouble even with the illegal stuff, because if you're doing something else outside of graffiti, what happens is it starts to I got off track because the phone rang. I like to stay low key even while I'm legal, because other things I do outside of graffiti interfere with what I'm doing.
Right.
Okay. I'll give you an example. If I have to do three t-shirts today, somebody will see that on a Facebook status and go, oh, well, since you're doing that, I need 10 canvases done, J-Lo. I'll give you half now. So now I'm running around like a rabbit sweating trying to do both because I'm not going to turn money down. Okay, so I get thrown, you know, the illegal stuff is just as rough as the legal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get in trouble with both.
You get in just trouble one, regardless.
Yeah, with the illegal is the negative trouble. I don't like positive trouble either because, like I said, sometimes I chase the money and I bite off more than I could chew. Okay, so I don't deal with websites because I don't want to promote what I'm doing because I wind up getting more work than I ask for. So I like to be a renegade, one that's just underground with it. The money is comfortable. I wind up getting jobs that I probably wouldn't have got even if it was on the internet. Mm-hmm. And so, like my $10,000 jobs I do a lot of productions for the liquor stores and stuff.
Right.
And if I'm going to do a $6,000 sign, I don't need that on Facebook.
Right.
So being a renegade is better. And as a renegade, I get a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't deal with the websites. I don't want a fan base. I don't want followers. I don't want none of that.
Okay.
And that was one of my gimmicks to actually being able to sell. Yeah. Just moving like I need to
right.
move, you know? So.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Right. Everybody has their preferences. Yeah. I mean, I like the website, you know. Mm-hmm. I have my website and I like
websites are good if you're selling something.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have the t-shirts and all of that.
Mm-hmm. I sell bullshit to promote my good stuff.
Right.
And so I don't need a website to sell bullshit. All I got to do is go on Facebook or Instagram, talk mm-hmm. my little crap. It's sold.
Right.
It's sold.
The hustle.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people don't understand that concept, but as long as I understand it, I'll always be able to eat. You
right.
know, J-Lo got a big mouth. No. Nope.
There's nothing
you
wrong.
You got a third eye. You know what I'm doing.
There's nothing wrong with eating.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sleep with the fat girl before I sleep with Halle Berry.
Now, YNN.
Yes.
Explain YNN.
I got down with YNN when I just came home out of the jail system, and I was on they had work release programs back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at Choice Careers. That was the place everybody went, whether you was in a halfway house or you chose a program or whatever the judge ordered. You know, they don't right. have these programs no more. And when I was in there, I bumped into this brother. He had a whole bunch of sketches, a whole bunch of photos of his graffiti work. And when I went and approached him, his name happened to be Stem Wine. And
there you go.
And I was like, that's you? And it just didn't fit who I was looking at because I was thinking about somebody who was like just this big dude, you know.
Brolic.
And, yeah, just some big Brooklyn dude. And my man Stem just happened to be a slim in shape dude, real humble. A lot of work, a lot of paint, and his work is just crazy. In person.
And he gets nasty, too, with the old school designer markers.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sick.
I met him that one time. I got to
say. That's my partner right there.
His work is definitely great. And big shout out to Stem, YNN.
Yeah, I met Stem in Choice. I met him in Choice Korea in the early 90s, and after I showed him a little bit of what I was doing, I got down with YNN when it was easy because it's hard to get down with that crew, man. Like, you really got to be that dude to get down with them. And I'm glad he keep it that way.
Right.
You know, it's behind the scenes, they don't know. We be actually kind of battling each other. We, mm-hmm. we exchange stuff in the inbox, and I be like, damn, you did that? And I know when I send Stem stuff, he be like, what? You
right,
know,
right,
and then
right.
we don't go public with that.
I hear you. I mean, there's so many things that you
keep
to yourself. I mean, people think you're putting everything out there. Me personally, I'm the same way. I've gotten, you know, things from other writers where, you know, I don't know if they expected me to publicize it, but, you know, sometimes somebody gives me something, and I keep mm-hmm. that for myself. You know, it's always appreciated. I put it away. It's in the collection, and, you know, like certain pictures. You know, most of my pictures were lost. And a lot of the old pictures that I've gotten were basically from people posting them.
Me too.
So, you know, you got to respect certain things. And there's a lot of writers out there that mm-hmm. have that collection that will not post.
Right.
So,
and
I respect
man Stem,
that
my
as
man
well.
Stem got, he got over, I'm going to say at least a good, he got at least over 60 train photos. That mm-hmm. would crush the internet if he really was not an arrogant writer.
Right.
He's very humble. I seen what he do. I seen what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting on a gold mine right now. And so my hats go off to him. I respect Stem. You know what I'm saying? He brought me back out when I didn't, you know, have faith in graffiti no more. You know, I quit in 89.
Right.
And when I ran into STEM, the fire just sparked because I didn't believe people were still doing trains like that. And he had the scrap yards locked. I mean, you go in the scrap yard, he got it's two sets in the scrap yard. And out of the two sets, you got 9 cars done, top to bottoms. I'm like, who's this dude?
Right, right.
And so me and STEM click. We click real quick. We started doing work in the books together. He got me back on the walls because I never did pieces back then as much as I do now.
Right.
I was a bomber. And so messing with STEM, I say I owe 60% of what I'm doing now to STEM because, you know, he had faith in me. He believed in me. And he was like, you know what, J-Lo? Go hard. You whine in? There's no soft spots with us. There's no weakness with us. You got to go hard. And he would actually shit on some of my work. He'd be like, yo, did you just draw Superman getting shot? I'm like, yeah. He like, yo, J-Lo, we not doing comic books no more. And I would really, I didn't know how to take that. So I was like, word, that's how you feel, STEM? Now I'm going to go on the crib and draw myself. And so that's what we started doing, drawing ourselves tip for tap. And he was like, you know, now that's your character. You drew yourself. And no disrespect to drawing Superman, because I still draw Superman.
That's funny you say that, because my daughter actually got your print.
Oh, and, okay.
And she is like, Dad, I really like that. I'm like, well, that's him.
You know, and
it was funny because, you know, everybody has their own forte of doing things. And in this game, whether you're a street bomber or you're now into the production part, you know, to me, it's all the same and it's all out of the love for what you do.
Right.
So anybody mocks a different guy, you know, you're like, you're dissing this guy, that guy. Yeah, just man up, be yourself, do you. That's my opinion to everybody
out
there.
It's like this, man. Some of my best work got more errors in it than folks think.
Well,
they don't know the struggle.
But that's the thing of art. Art is art. I mean, look, will we ever be Leonardo da Vinci or Pablo Picasso? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
But you know what? Art is just an expression.
That's it.
That's all it is. So that's what you interpret out of your brain and coming out your fingertips is one thing compared to someone else.
Manifesting
so
your thoughts.
So everybody just needs to respect one another.
That's it.
You know, this isn't the Wild West. This isn't, you know, fucking the Cap era taking out 40 fucking trains. You know, I mean, a lot of people like that. Yeah, okay, I could understand the rush in it, but you know what? Today, it's like, you know, it's totally different. Everything went mainstream. It's bad in a way, good in a way.
Right.
But in all actuality, a lot of people got together, worked together, met someone they've been wanting to meet because of social media. So you could take it, you know, you could take it in a positive way or you could take it in a negative way. Me, I take everything in a positive way.
Right.
You know, whether it's bad, I try to make it good. If it's good, I try to make it better.
I put everything on a scale and just wait.
That's it.
It is what
it is. That's it, because everything does have weight.
Mm-hmm.
Everything does have weight.
Everything.
What do you have planned for the future? You have any upcoming shows you want to get out there?
I have so many shows right now, I don't even know off cap. I got to actually go on the internet to look at my own shows.
There you go.
But I'm definitely going to California next month.
Okay.
I'll be with the 718 Creative and Vanduauer. So I'm going with all them out there, and we're going to go paint with the brothers in the West Coast. And so L.A. should be good. You know, I got the desert lined up. I got Las Vegas lined up, you know, Arizona, all that. I'm definitely doing a lot of traveling. It's quiet as kept.
Very good.
And nobody knows until the photos go up. Like, nobody knew I was doing the Al Ski Show until the last 72 hours.
Oh, okay. Well, nobody knew it on my end because I don't put it out there like that.
It just happens.
I just don't do that. I respect people's privacy.
And then a lot of people speak highly of you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm glad.
Anybody I deal with, that's because they somebody.
There you go.
And I'm not prejudiced. I'm not talking from a racial perspective. I'm not prejudiced with those who are on top and those who are on the bottom. I treat everybody
that, you know what? I'm glad you said that.
So I fuck with Al Ski.
I gotta agree with you on that.
I fuck with Al Ski. Whoever like him. Whoever don't,
there
whatever.
That's it. And as Vic 2 would say, go fuck yourself.
Word.
Big shout out to Vic 2.
And some dudes ain't even worthy of fucking their own self.
That's a good one.
Might catch something from their own self.
That's it. Well, you know, I personally think that our interview is a very good interview. We need to get together a little more often. I would definitely like to paint with you. I would definitely like to do more panels.
Definitely.
With you.
All you gotta do is give me the word.
Whatever's available, if I can make it there, I will be there. Too many people out there are just, you know, waiting to see something different. And I think our styles combined.
Definitely.
If
I've
we
seen
do
your
a
style.
Nice little production together, I think it would come off pretty pretty fucking unique.
It's gonna be dope.
So
because we gonna make it.
Yeah,
dope.
we definitely got to put something together. I like to work with all types of
exactly.
artists. And you know, as far as like you know, the sticker game and the artist and this and that. You know what? Everybody unite. You know, you could make a nice fucking apple pie out of
That's
it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
it doesn't have to be pizza all the time.
That's right.
You know, so you know, melted cheese and tasty apples. You know, it is what it is. So you actually are doing the travel thing, and you do your hustle. And
yes.
I must admit, your line of gab is a good one.
Giffen the gab.
And people could phrase it in many other ways.
Giffen the gab.
Now, for today's graffiti writer slash artist,
right?
What would you want to put out there for them?
Be yourself.
There you go.
Because if you don't, somebody will be you for you.
Ah, and that's true. And that's true. I like that.
Just be yourself.
That. You know, life could be that simple. and life can be appreciated a whole lot more people decide to be that simple and humble.
Exactly.
And you know what? I can't say it any better.
Mm.
I cannot say it any better. To me, that was very well put.
For sure, bro.
And that's that. So before we wrap it up, who do you want to shout out?
Oh.
I know you got plenty of shout outs, and I know you always forget. I forget.
Ah,
we all forget.
I'm going to get beat up for this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
There you go.
Shout out first and foremost to my partner in crime, Stem Wynan.
Shout him out. Big shout out to you, Stem.
Yes, my partner, Vito180, always in the trenches with me, even in the rain.
That's right. And you know what? I run into him all the time, too.
Yeah, can't
Big
forget.
Big shout out to you, my brother.
Yeah, can't forget my man, Sirs, Fogs, 501.
501,
Slick,
gang.
Rest in peace. My man, Vision129. Oh, man, there's so many. My low-life brethren. Oh, man, RLPC. All my U5 brothers, TNG, DFF. My man, BM Ski, Doug167, Lockdown, Nash, BBK. I love all y'all brothers, bro.
Yeah, he's got that pretty locked down. Go ahead,
I'm
keep
trying.
That shit going.
My man, Nam Ski, Kosa, Brea TPT, everybody, man. My man, Rom, a.k.a. Slow. Oh, man, there's so many to name, man. My man, IC. Oh, man, my man, Hearst Top, rest in peace. Cito M-O-G, J-O-M-O-G, the whole M-O-G crew. Rest in peace to Pison, R-E, Kings Only. Shout R-E. Out to my man, B-Y-E, Bye. And my other man, Bye, M-O-G, see? I got all y'all out there. If I forgot anybody, don't beat me up at the show. It's hard.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's hard. You got to improvise, adapt, and overcome when you're on the spot. My man, Besta, where you at?
Oh, Uncle Besta.
My man Rats, what up? I can't eat without you unless you feed me. Rats is my man from the Bronx. He don't write no more, but at all my shows, he makes sure I eat. I mean, literally, he buys my food. And if I buy my food, it's a problem.
There
he don't
go.
Like me to spend my money, so.
Spend no money, eat free. That's the way it
That's
should be.
That's my man Rats. Shout out to the Vandu Hour.
Shout him out.
1718 Creative.
There you go.
My HL brothers, Bo Jep, Porty, all of them, Joe, and so many. If I forgot y'all, that's all right, man. Y'all can catch me out there in the world and yell at me, man. My man Too Much, PD, what up? You know what I'm saying? All my GCA brothers, what up?
Well,
you know?
It's another episode of the Alski Show under the belt. Everyone out there, please listen in. www.thealskishow.podomatic.com. Subscribe. You will be notified every week for a new episode. Big shout out to my brother J Lo YNN crew. Thank you for coming, my brother. And we out like a trout. Peace.
Peace.